Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates, talking with Elizabeth Pittman, Manager of Public Relations at Concordia Publishing House. Wrapping up our conversation about arch books, fun books that we love reading at home with our kids. And now you can pair those up with the Sunday lessons, sit down and prepare for Sunday morning or follow up to Sunday morning as well with those arch books. And something else unique that Concordia Publishing House does, Concordia Gospel Outreach. Now, I've heard of this before. What is Concordia Gospel Outreach, Elizabeth?
Sure. For 50 years, actually more than 50 years, Concordia Gospel Outreach has been the mission of CPH in action. So I've described it as it's our nonprofit within a nonprofit. Through the support of individual donors and congregations, we're able to take Bible-based resources and books and send them out to support mission efforts around the globe. And so it's a really cool thing where we get to take the books that, you know, all those arch books that are strewn around our homes that we take for granted. When you think about the number of children and families around this world that have nothing and not even a single book of their own, Concordia Gospel Outreach is able to step in and help share that word in a way that supports outreach.
Now, how does it... You said reaching people around the world. How do we get connected with those people in order to get these resources to them?
Yeah, it's kind of like boiling the ocean, right? a lot of this is done through connections. So I'll receive a call from a missionary saying, hey, I'm going to be serving in Uganda. Any chance you have some materials that could help? Or someone will say, our church mission trip is going on. So it's a lot of the one-to-one conversations where people will reach out to us. And to the extent we're able... really try to meet the needs of as many of those requests as we can. And so it's a really neat thing to see where people are going to help share the word of God and then how we can come in, Concordia Gospel Outreach can come in and help them amplify and extend the reach of their ministry. So it's a really neat thing because a lot of these groups, so you have a church mission trip that goes out and they'll spend a week doing a medical mission trip or leading PBS or doing whatever they do, interacting with the children and the families on a one-to-one level, but then the mission team comes home. And so what's really cool is when Concordia Gospel Outreach is able to provide books, those books remain. And if they go to a child, you know, look at my kids or your kids, what does a child who can't really read very well do? Hey, mom, can you read this book to me? Hey, big brother, can you read this book to me? So it's really neat to see how the printed word is just a marvelous missionary because it's out there and the Spirit's able to do its work long after the mission team has come home.
Yeah, you know, the message that is shared by that team when they're there remains when a resource like this can stay.
It stays behind and, you know, and it's almost embarrassing when you look around, like I look around my home, I see the volume of books and not just books, but Bibles and Bible stories and devotions, you know, we're not wanting for easy access to the word. And I would say a lot of your listeners probably are in the same boat where probably finding a Bible or devotional is probably not too hard to do. But when you look at the number of people in the world and children, especially, this is what breaks my heart because I love seeing how kids read and seeing them develop that love of reading when they have nothing. And they have not only no books, but very little to call their own. And so it's a really powerful thing when you're able to work with a mission team to make sure that these children have a book that they can call their own and it's brand new and it's theirs and only theirs. And to see how they treasure that, it's a special thing.
You bring up a good point that in this world today, we live in, even though we may not feel like we're very affluent, you know, that we're one of the wealthiest societies in the world today. You think about, you know, go back generations and to even have a Bible in your home was was something extraordinary for, you know, previous generations. And here, you know, I was cleaning up a bookshelf just this weekend at home and going through one shelf that was primarily Bibles that I'd used through my years of studies. And I can't part with them because they have notes written in them or something, or I used them, you know, during this time. And this one is this translation, or this was the Greek New Testament that I used to learn Greek. And you know, so I have all these on a shelf and I can't part with them, but it's kind of funny to, sad to think that here we have all these Bibles and yet there are so many people that don't have the Word of God in their home.
It's fascinating because I was raised in a home where not only were books valued, but the Word was valued. And I remember my parents' bookcases just overflowing. And the same thing where there's shelf after shelf of Bibles and, you know, theological study material. And, you know, and I look in my home and while I may not have the Greek and the Hebrew, we have no lack of books that touch on faith. And so the kids have their books, you know, Bible story books are all over the place. And when you really stop and think about the number, how fortunate we are. And anytime I've gone out to visit congregations, and I love doing this, to go visit a congregation and talk about what Concordia Gospel Outreach is doing, I'll often ask the question, or school chapels, like, how many of you have? Every hand goes up. You know, how many of you can't count that high of how many you have in your, and, you know, hands still go up. Mm-hmm. But there are many, many folks around the world who they don't have Bible-based resources. They don't have that word. And so it's really neat to see how we can team up with those mission workers who are going out into the field and provide them. Because often our missionaries, mm-hmm. you know, they're stretched for resources too, right? And so for them to, you know, if they're funding their travel and their ministry, having those extra printed materials can be, it can help relieve some of the pressure off of them, but it can give them the tools they need to help teach and to help share the word and spread it with the people that they're ministering to and extend the reach of their ministry.
That mission work that they're doing is just, again, much like when we were talking about Archbooks, it's reinforced by the materials then mm-hmm. that they have to share through Concordia Gospel Outreach.
Absolutely.
Now, I know Concordia Publishing House publishes, primarily in English. Are there resources published in other languages that are used in Concordia Gospel Outreach that can be used to support that mission work?
Sure. The largest number of materials come in Spanish. So it's English and Spanish are the two primary mm-hmm. languages that we work in. But we found is that even in a lot of, you know, a lot of African countries, they want English. A lot of these places, they're teaching English as a second language. And so they'll use the Bible story books to not only teach English, but to teach the word. So that's been the Hear Me Read series of books have been really well loved by missionaries because they're sight words. They're teaching. Mm-hmm. So you'll see them using these books to teach people of all ages basic English, but they're learning the precious word at the same time.
And how great that the words that they're learning in English are words that teach us about God and His church.
Absolutely.
His son, Jesus, what He's done for us.
I mean, it really is a gift that has the potential to change a life for eternity. And it's mm-hmm. not necessarily something tangible. I mean, the book itself is tangible, but the greater impact of that gift is just so awesome to think about introducing someone to the faith that can change their lives for eternity.
Now, who are, or what are the different types of outreaches? We've talked about, a lot about children's resources, mm-hmm. children's books. How are Concordia Gospel Outreach materials used beyond children?
It really comes down to the need. Mm-hmm. And so we have it broken up into the buckets because that's where most of the needs have tended to come from. Mm-hmm. But the needs can vary. So in the wake of a disaster, and that could be a natural disaster, that could be something as awful as a mass shooting like we had in Orlando earlier this year, we'll come in and send devotionals or other. We try to work with the teams that are on the ground to provide mm-hmm. the materials that make the most sense. I don't want to send materials down there just for the sake of sending materials. I want them to actually be valuable and useful. And so in cases of crisis or calamity, things can come in a couple of waves. You may have something in the wake of flooding where all they can handle right now is a small devotional or a small outreach Bible. We recently released the New Testament Outreach Bible, which is great for situations like this because it's a very slim paperback that's easy for sharing, not only for outreach, but on Sunday mornings if you have visitors come into your church. It's a nice little New Testament that really gets the word out easily. But then it could be that later on down, there's a need that comes out of that. And I always tell the teams, like, if there's something you need down the road, because I understand it comes in waves. It doesn't all happen on that first pass of going through a community. Comfort still may need to be shared, you know, weeks and months later. So we try to match the materials up to that. We've had a lot of partnerships with folks working in Spanish-speaking countries. And so that's where a lot of our multicultural outreach goes to. Some of that is children, some is adults. And again, it could be the children's stories, other Bible stories and devotionals, and the word to help meet those specific needs.
Is there a difference between someone going and hand delivering these things, whether it be missionaries or someone working in disaster response, and as you said earlier, just sending a bunch of resources there? Is there, just shipping a bunch of resources there? Is there a difference?
I try to work with the folks where there's some sort of personal connection, and mm-hmm. that's mainly because, one, when you have a personal connection of giving a book to anyone, it makes it a little more impactful versus, hey, there's a whole bunch of books on that table, just go take one. When you have that personal connection of delivering it, they can explain what it is and share, here's how you might use this, here's how this could be meaningful to you. If you have a question, let me know. And so that relationship could provide some incentive to really dig into the book versus, oh, it's an afterthought, by the way, go take those
I really
items.
Like this story on page
yes.
5.
Yeah.
I think you might find it very helpful in
exactly.
your current circumstances.
Exactly. The prayer on page 32 is right here for what you're going through right now. Mm-hmm. Take a look at that.
We live in a culture especially here in North America, where we're just inundated with information. We're inundated with junk mail, you know, print materials just constantly coming in our
right.
inbox. What and so we're almost jaded to the point where we even, you know, when mail comes in, important things come in the mail, we miss it because there's so much other stuff in the mail that's coming in that everybody's trying different things to get our attention in order to
exactly.
get us to read that. So we're jaded, we're almost conditioned to just
ignore it.
Filter out,
yeah.
yeah. filter out
I
just
dread
about
the
everything.
Mailbox. I mean, most days I dread because there's nothing useful there generally.
So when there's someone who is, when there's that personal connection there, mm-hmm. when they're delivering these materials, that makes a big difference.
I think so.
Because you're more inclined to read it, to take a look at mm-hmm. it rather than just, oh yeah, there's some resources over
yeah.
there. They might be great resources, but
we don't know. Especially if you're working with kids and to help them understand the value of it. Mm-hmm. It's actually a pretty cool story. There was a team that we worked with 2 years ago from Columbus, Nebraska, from I think Peace Lutheran there. And they make a point to go up every summer to a Native American reservation up in Canada, in Manitoba. And so we teamed up with them a few years ago to provide some Bible story books to take up and share with the kids as they were working mm-hmm. through the VBS. I keep trying to get the budget to go travel to see this all happen in action, but they keep telling me no. So we'll just keep asking. So you don't always see the response on the backside of the impact that the books had. And so I always appreciate when teams send back photos and tell us the stories, because then we can in turn tell those mm-hmm. stories out to help share, you know, what the great mission efforts that are being done by various organizations. But this past summer, the same church went back up to the same Native American community. And this time I had outfitted them with another batch of materials. And what was really cool was when they got there, and one of our authors was on this trip, Deb Burma. And so she called me when she got home and she was so excited. She said, this was fantastic. This was so cool. We got there and he's probably about 9 now, but this little boy named Simon came rushing out to the team, excited to see them, clutching the book that he was given 2 years ago. And so he had 2 years ago, that same team gave him a copy of 100 Bible stories. And so he very meticulously showed the team how he wrote his name on the cover so that nobody would take it because it was his book. It was his. But he went through and described to them how every day he would open up the book and read it. And, you know, 100 Bible stories is a great teaching tool and has a lot of questions and artwork mm-hmm. that goes with each story. But he described to them how reading each story every day, the way that the questions helped him and how it helped him to learn a lot and how he in turn was able to help share that. And what he told them was, he said, I just really hope that one day I have all of God's word to call my own. Talk about, whoa. You know, we talk
Goodness.
About being spoiled with the, you know, mm-hmm. many, many copies that we have. And here's this little boy for 2 years who has had one Bible storybook and has cherished that to a degree that I don't think my kids ever would, because they just have had so much. Well, what he didn't know was what I had sent the team to give this time were copies of the Faith Alive Bible. So at the end of their week there, they gave each of the children at the VBS a copy of the entire Bible. And Simon, they said his eyes lit up, and his comment to them was, "I will treasure this forever." And you're like, how cool is that to see this printed word that's left with the most precious message ever? And it works. Even when we aren't there to kind of manipulate it and try to egg it along and keep it moving, God's doing his thing. And it's just really neat to be able to see those stories come back.
Wow. To hear that a child values God's word so highly, that he esteems this gift, this treasure that God gives us in his word so highly, is humbling, and almost, well, puts us to shame when we disregard God's word and fail to see it for the gift that it is, because we fill we try to fill our lives with so much other stuff that, you know, we don't value God's word as much as this little child.
The most precious thing we have, and to hang on to, and to see those opportunities where the word is being shared and more people are given the opportunity to hear it and read it and learn it and cherish it. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is the greatest gift that a person can give.
Yeah, Lord, have mercy on me. Let me be as this child who so desires to hear, to study, to read your word.
Exactly.
To have it, as he says, for his own.
Exactly. You know, that's where the abundance that we have, you know, tends to, as you say, we take it for granted. Mm-hmm. And so when it's that precious, I mean, we all need to be able to hang on to it like that.
Yeah, he gets the third commandment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, goodness. So how do teams, or those who are serving, how do our missionaries get connected with, you know, resources like this to share with those?
If they shoot an email to me at cgo@cph.org, that'll come directly to me. And really then it's a matter of a conversation back and forth of, do we have the materials that fit your need? Are we able to get them to you? And a conversation, and to the extent that we can help, we want to.
cgo@cph.org starts that conversation. If you're in a, you know, planning on being in a setting where you could reach others with God's word and leave some great resources with them as well.
Absolutely. And if anyone, we do this all through the generosity of donations. So if any of the listeners have ever been asked to round up when they've called in and talked to our customer service reps or on the websites, all of those pennies go directly to helping Concordia Gospel Outreach, as do, we have a lot of ladies' aides and congregations that will dedicate their Sunday school offerings to Concordia Gospel Outreach. We've even had some first graders who have started putting their coins in a jar, and it adds up, because every penny of that comes into us goes directly to putting that word out into the hands of those mission efforts. So it's really through generosity of donations that we're able to do this. And so we appreciate every one of them.
I appreciate that explanation. I've seen it before when I've ordered on the website and thought, okay, well, this has to be something good that they're doing. Now I know what it is.
So that's helping Simon get his very own Bible that he can treasure forever. That's what that does. So
that's great.
So that's one way that
we need a picture of Simon.
There's one on our blog. So there's a blog post written about Simon where there is a picture of Simon. So he looks like he's a sweet kid. So either Roundup is one way, and that's one way. You can also go to concordiagospeloutreach.org/donate. Mm-hmm. And that's another way that you can contribute to helping people like Simon get the precious word.
Very good. The Concordia Publishing House website, we can find Concordia Gospel Outreach on there. And we can support it, obviously, through that. And as you mentioned earlier, email cgo@cph.org. Mm-hmm. If you think that you have a project or an event coming up where, or travel coming up where you might be able to reach others with the word of God and provide some timely resources for them as well. Where did the CGO, the Concordia Gospel Outreach idea, begin?
Where did it come from? Oh, 50 years ago plus, there was a need recognized in the church, for resources that could be used for mm-hmm. this. And actually that gave life to Concordia, the tracked mission. So a lot of listeners will remember the Concordia tracked mission. And so over time that the resources that were used changed, the name changed some 25 plus years ago to Concordia Gospel Outreach because it was far more than tracks. And actually right now tracks are just a very, very tiny part of what Concordia Gospel Outreach does. So the name was broadened to reflect that more broad approach, and that's where it came from. It was all from just a very clear need that there needs to be resources that are shared mm-hmm. and to help spread the word.
I remember tracts, like the mm-hmm. little pamphlets. I remember those. It's amazing how our culture, society evolves over time, and they certainly have their place, but I see what you're saying, you know, moving to bigger materials that can carry so much more with mm-hmm. them, so you can leave a great resource with someone.
Absolutely.
When you're visiting with them. Well, Concordia Gospel Outreach is doing great things. Any other stories from CGO? I know you mentioned Simon.
Well, actually, there's one other one that about knocked me off my chair. So I had received a letter from a prisoner working in a prison chapel. I forget what state. It was in like Wyoming or Montana or somewhere up
in the West.
And I got a letter, and they were talking about how the chapel library needed materials, and they said, you know, we have a couple thousand men here who come in. And at the time I'm like, absolutely, we can support this. So I put together a package of materials and it went out, and several weeks later a letter came across my desk. You know, the return address was this correctional facility, prisoner number, you know, dot 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 dot. And I thought, oh boy, because you don't always know what you're gonna get, right? And I opened up the letter and I started reading it. It was two pages, handwritten, both sides. And in the first paragraph, the gentleman wrote, he said, "I thank God that the publisher of my church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has not forgotten about those of us here in prison." And at that point, my breath stopped and I was like, wow. And he went on to talk about, you know, and it was clear that he had been raised at some point in the faith, clearly fell away from it, made some bad choices, and now was dealing with the consequences of those. But the cool thing is that the Spirit works in his time, and when the seed gets planted. So somewhere the seed of faith had been planted for him, and we were just able to connect at a time where he was, you know, wholly there. And that's the neat thing with the Concordia Gospel Outreach books that go out. We don't know when or where that's going to come to life, but we know at some point the Spirit's going to do what he needs to do and affect that person. So it's just kind of neat to see that when it does happen, and to see those stories come back of, you know, thank you. You know, thank you for providing this so that we can not only study and learn it, but share it. So then he is witnessing to his you know, fellow prisoners.
We have just about a minute and a half left. How do you decide what goes into, you know, one of these packs? How do you decide what to send? I'm sure it just depends on the circumstances.
It depends on the circumstance. It depends on what we have available and specific needs. So, you know, I just had a donation that's going out to another prison chapel, and they said they needed Bible studies. And so I had access to quite some of the Lifelight studies of different books of the Bible. And that was there's a perfect connection. They can really dig in and study. Mm-hmm. Other places, if they're working a lot of times with kids, they want books like Archbooks. They want a story that they can help reinforce the vacation Bible school lessons that they may be teaching or the other programming that they have planned. And it could be that they want a Bible study. We've worked with some folks who've wanted to lead adult Bible studies in Spanish-speaking places. And so they've said, hey, we're looking for something like this. Do you have something that matches up? And if we can match it up and we can make it work, we definitely want to do that.
That's great. Concordia Gospel Outreach. And again, we can find that on the Concordia Publishing website as well, cph.org. The arch books that we talked about earlier, go check out cph.org/archbooks.
Yep.
You can find out all kinds of resources to help you with those arch books as well, some ideas of how to use those arch books as well. What a fantastic idea. Elizabeth, thanks so much for coming over today and sharing with me about arch books, matching them up with the lectionary. Great resource for families, for teachers as well, to use to match up with that Sunday lectionary. And Concordia Gospel Outreach, the way that that we can get these helpful Bible-based resources to folks that perhaps have not had access to God's Word before.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's always fun.
Always a great time. Well, coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word, Pastor Whedon, studying God's Word with Pastor Clark. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.